everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We are excited that you're here. It is the night before the 4th of July. For those of you out there, for those of you outside of the USA, it's a pretty big holiday around here. Independence Day, not the Will Smith movie. Although, oh, that's a good one. Anyway,
it may be on one of our lists.
Okay. Anyway, my name is Juan. I'm here with Kevin.
Hello, everybody.
And we like movies. We are the Filmingos, minus one as our comrade. As our comrade Mark has still not made his return, but we are holding out hope. Anyway, we decided to do a little bit of a special edition, a series that we've done in the past, where we choose a theme, and then each one of us picks five movies that fit that theme. We'll talk some more about the theme in a second, but just want to remind you to, if you are not already, to subscribe, follow us, share, you know, go ahead and retweet or share this episode or any episode that you've enjoyed. That really helps us out. Comment, as Kevin mentioned last week, you can comment and make us recommendations, whether it is for a theme or for a film that you want us to review. But we appreciate your support, and we you know, want to grow and want to you know, be heard, hopefully, if what we're doing is good and we continue to improve. We just want to be heard by as many people as possible. But anyway, so that was our plug. But now back to today's episode and our theme. This came from Kevin. So Kevin, I'll let you give us your interpretation of the theme, explain it for us, and then if it's weak, then I'll fill in any holes.
Thank you. So this
that's a vote of confidence.
I know. This is this week we're doing our top five five movies that remind us of America, or like just the American dream, the American spirit, here on 4th of July week. And basically that's it. That's all the parameters, right? Something that when we see it reminds us of America. When we think about it, there's something about it. And of course, when we talk about it, we'll go into it. That this is what reminds me of America from this movie and why it's included.
Yeah, how was that? Yeah, no, that was good. I wasn't thinking too much of the American dream, although I do think that fits and that's fine. I just went straight up with sort of like definition, something that, yeah, kind of encapsulates a way in which I define the American experience, or just when I think about what it means to be American, you know, kind of like a film as putting a face on that idea is what I went with. I mean, I don't have much more to say about that except America and happy 4th of July, and we'll go ahead and get started. That is obscenely loud.
Oh, bad. It says America. America!
I thought it said it was someone yelling Becky. It pierced my eardrum.
Still working on that.
Okay. So why don't you start off, Kevin, since this was your category.
All right. I will start off with just saying... Hold on. All right.
Is that Neil Diamond? Who is that?
That is not Neil Diamond. That is the theme song for the great immortal Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay. Is that your first pick?
No. That's my opening song. My honorable mention isn't go to a small little movie which popped into my head when I didn't even think about it when I first suggested this.
Wait, are you starting with your honorable mention?
Yeah, start with your honorable mention and then move into your actual picks.
Honorable mentions come at the end. Those are last.
Oh, you want me to go last?
You do your top five, then you go, oh, by the way, these were some honorable mentions.
Okay, so well then I will reel it back and I will go with my first movie.
We should have.
Which is a movie from 2003. It is a war epic. One of two war movies.
Okay.
And it is called Gods and Generals.
Oh, okay. Oh, 2003.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was thinking, for some reason, I was confused, and I guess I thought you said 2013, and I was thinking Hacksaw Ridge, but is that even close? I think Hacksaw Ridge was a little bit later than that.
Yeah, but when I was thinking about movies when we suggested this, I was trying to like, all right, let me go through everything we've seen, and Gods and Generals just popped into my mind. It is about the Civil War. It is mostly focused on Stonewall Jackson and how he was leading the Confederate armies. But what it has to do is with, it shows both sides, how both sides believe they were right. They both believe they're on the side of God. They both, you know, believe that they were doing the right thing. You know, you try to secede and try not to secede. And it just shows like a part of America, how much people love their land. Like, especially Virginia, Tennessee, and the North, you know, it shows Lincoln saying, well, I'm not going to let this Union break apart. And it was a battle for, I guess you could say, like, the soul of America, because it was going to be ripped apart. And I just thought it was a real good movie that shows that. And it painted Stonewall Jackson in a light that, like, I have never heard of him talked about before. And just as a man of faith and an American, it just showed how much love and how much you can want to put on the line for your country.
Mm-hmm. I know we saw that once. That's the only time I've ever seen it.
It is not a short movie.
It's a good solid 4 hours.
Yeah, I remember it was two DVDs back in the day. But yeah. I've seen it a couple of times.
Really? No, I've only seen it the one time. I don't remember much about it. Should be noted, Robert Duvall is also in it. I believe he plays General Lee.
Yeah, Robert Duvall's in it. Jeff Daniels is in it. Stephen Lang.
What I remember about it was sort of learning more about Stonewall Jackson. Now that you mention it, I do remember his faith being predominant in the film. But just that one detail about him, how he wouldn't really kind of run for cover or anything like that in the battlefield as bullets are flying by him and branches and trees are getting cut down. And he was just kind of by faith standing there saying, hey, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And then, of course, that infection getting him. So I do remember some of that.
You know, even in that part, like what he tells the soldier, who's like, why aren't you scared? He's like, I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am on my bed at home. If God wants to take me, I'm going.
Yeah, that is definitely a strong, courageous faith. But aside from that, I mean, I don't remember much else about it. I would be interested in watching that again. Have you ever seen Master and Commander, just by out of curiosity?
I tried.
Men rave about it. They say it's like a, you know, very masculine.
Again, it was a while. Like, we were younger. Like, I don't remember when that movie came out, but it was a while ago. And I don't think I was in the mindset to be able to like to appreciate that type of movie. I remember trying to watch it. I was like, it was really slow.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not into this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to try it. I feel like I would probably like it now. But anyway, okay. Gods and Generals. So my first pick, also similar genre, not quite a 4 hour epic, but you did mention it in our pre-show discussion briefly. But yeah, mine is The Patriot, which I realized is interesting. You know, Mel Gibson, the lead in that, of course, because he at least was not born in the United States, right? I'm sure by now he's probably an American citizen, but yeah, born in Australia, but he plays the lead in this.
I like how the two leads are Australian. Him and Heath.
Right. Heath Ledger also. Yeah, one of the first movies I remember seeing him in. Just a great story. I mean, but obviously, yeah, all about this fictionalized account of is this the Revolutionary War?
I believe the
American Revolution. So yeah, we're fighting against the Brits. But I think for me, it's just, an incredible performances all around, as far as war and epicness, if that's a word. It's just so good. It has all really important dramatic elements, directed by Roland Emmerich. Does a fantastic job with the direction. So many memorable scenes for me in this movie. It's a movie also filled with a lot of heartbreak and kind of just seeing the monstrosity of humanity, of what we can inflict in each other, especially during these times. But also even just the difference that one man, you know, sticking to his guns, no pun intended, but his ideals, you know, and both duty for country, also for family and for God. So, yeah, just kind of like that young American spirit. I was at one point also was going to cheat and maybe throw Hamilton in there since it was released as a film. But no, ultimately felt like The Patriot is one of the ones war films about this era, about, you know, our country that has stuck with me the most throughout the years.
Funny thing, I took, that's the other one I took off, Hamilton, because I'm like, it wasn't a film. Right. It's just recorded. Yeah. But yeah, I remember this movie. I think I've only seen it once, and then I've seen bits and pieces of it. No, okay. Like I've seen like the full thing once, and then I've caught bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, his son dies in that movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Heath Ledger.
For this really old movie.
Heath Ledger dies.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think I remember that. I remember the one time I saw it all the way through, I was, like, crushed by that, by his son dying. And also a little side note, Mel Gibson, born in New York. Moved to Australia when he was 12.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm an idiot.
There you go. So, no. I don't think anyone knows that. But yeah, but back to the movie. Like I said, I just remember thinking it was really great. Yeah, I haven't seen it in forever, though. Like, there's parts of it that I thought about this, thinking on this list, and I was like, man, I should watch that movie with the girls because I have not seen it. Came out in 2000. Yeah, and that's probably when I saw it. Cool.
I was thinking that this is one of those that if it's on, 9 times out of 10, I'm tuning in and watching some of it, if not, you know, the rest of it from that point on. But I'm actually, it just reminded me that I don't think I've seen it on so far. I mean, I wasn't home a lot throughout the weekend, but yeah, I'm sure it played. I didn't see it, or else I would have tuned in. But I love it, and I am a big Mel Gibson fan. And for me, this was what I admire about him is whatever subject he takes on. And he didn't direct this one, but he, you know, had the main role, and sure, he had a lot of opinions and input. He really does it a very solid service, you know, whatever subject matter he tackles, he, you know, treats it with a lot of respect and really elevates it in a really beautiful way. So The Patriot. Like,
do you know who directed it or no?
Roland Emmerich.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, if you see his, especially back then, like, his filmography, it's like Universal Soldier, Stargate, Independence Day, Godzilla, The Patriot, The Day After Tomorrow, 10,000 BC. I'm like,
yeah,
And again, I'm not dissing those movies. I like a lot of those movies, but it just hits differently.
Yeah. Also, it's a movie. There's one of the themes of the movie, which I think I always connected with the most, was fatherhood, both in the sort of his example and the way he models his character models fatherhood, but then also some of the things that he experiences as a father, you know, because in the movie, a lot of the reason why he even gets dragged into the war is solely to protect his family. So I think that is a little sort of underneath the surface important aspect of the film for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving along. I'm probably going to watch it because...
Yeah, you should watch it with the girls.
We usually watch another movie that's on my list, but I was like, you know what? We should switch it up a bit.
Yeah, you should watch it with
probably
the
after
girls.
We record tonight, I'll go up and I'll say, girls, that's what we're watching.
There you go. Okay, I'll go to the next one, moving right along. Switching gears a little bit. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that this one is going to be on both of our lists. This is my favorite part of this theme, though, of this special edition episode, is always trying to see if any of our films align. None of them did last time. But this time, I have a feeling there might be one or two that do. But yeah, switching gears for me, this is, again, I think in trying to think about this list, I realized that my idealized version of, America, the United States of America, or what it means to be America, or just our ideals and whatnot, is pretty old-fashioned, and I like that. But this one, for me, I think just captures an era and a time, along with some of those ideals. But for me, so my second choice is The Sandlot.
Oh, I don't have that one.
And so,
good choice, though.
I'm actually not a huge baseball fan, but I do in the way that it's romanticized in this film, especially as it's very unique to not only that era, but also just the childhood experience of, you know, being a middle schooler with those friends that you have at that time and the things that you kind of do after school and in the summers. But then you have, epic montages and scenes, you know, like the dog chase through the 4th of July celebration, the picnic in the park, fireworks going off in one scene, to trying to think what else, but even I guess the significance of the Yankees and the Yankee teams back in the day, that obviously is a big part of the film as well. And maybe there's a theme here, but also a strong thematic of fathers and sons, strong theme of fathers and sons in this one as well. But those are my initial thoughts.
What a great movie about like brotherhood and bonding. Mm-hmm. Like it reminded me of, I didn't think of this one, but I actually thought of Stand By Me again. And I was like, no, I'm not going to pick that one because it was just about that bonding and about the camaraderie. And like, we've all had it, like even in our lives where we become friends and friends become closer than anybody, you know, they become more like family. You're spending all your time with them. You're going everywhere. I know that happened with us. Like when we would just spend all our time together, all our free time. We were just always going places together, you know, having adventures, having dumb laughs about stuff, you know, getting into mischief and all that good stuff. And it does remind you of just growing up, especially in the setting. It just, mind you, growing up and what we want for our children, what we want, you know, for all of us, just have these memories that you can look back for. And sometimes you grow apart, but you still hold those people close in your heart.
And there's also something about the innocence of that time that's conveyed in that film, as opposed to the times that we're living in. Now, comparisons are very difficult because, I mean, kids, for example, just where we are today with reporting and the internet and how much exposure we have to information, who knows exactly what the comparisons are, how much more, you know, safe it was back then or innocent, but it definitely captures some of that. You know, these kids are out all day playing baseball, parents are nowhere to be found, you know, but they're home by dinner time, and they're really, maybe that is only truly depicts maybe one segment or one part of America. I'm not saying that was everybody's shared experience who was alive at that time, but, and maybe this film and films like it are also play a role in creating those ideals for us in our minds, you know, because obviously weren't alive at the time of that the film is set in. But as we think back on it, I think at least that's what the film helps us create, this idea of like, well, at least in our minds, we hope that's what it was like, you know, as well as identifying some, like you said, experiences and moments that are synonymous with our own. Oh, are you muted? You're muted.
Sorry, I'm muted because the girls were getting loud. But I think what the beauty is in that is, okay, it might be idealistic, but it gives us a goal that we want to be in. You know what I mean? We're just not going through life saying, oh, well, this is what it is. It's like, no, we want to create this environment where our kids, you know, have, you know, great memories, have, you know, these bonding moments, have these times just to play, get dirty, you know what I mean? And they don't, and of course, we want to protect them from, like you said, like today now with multimedia, social media, all this stuff, they can see all this stuff, and we want to protect them for that. You don't need to know what's going on in France right now. You know what? Go out there, get dirty, get wet, you know, splash around, you know, make your parents angry because there's mud and all that good stuff. And that's it. That's all we want to create for our kids, just lasting memories and love and a place where they can feel wanted and accepted.
Yeah, and so many memorable epic scenes in this film, you know. And again, I think it depends what era you grew up in. I think for us, this was a very significant film because of the age that we were at that time. You know, anything in the 90s, early 2000s was really big for us. You know, someone born a little bit earlier would probably have different films to choose from. So I understand that. But again, some of those scenes, I mean, Wendy Peppercorn at the pool, you know, s'mores up in the treehouse, you know, the Malo.
Malo.
Yeah, so, yeah, great movie. Directed by David Mickey Evans, who has not directed much. I was a fan of the film Radio Flyer for some reason when I was a kid. And also there's a film, Ed, about a monkey, a chimpanzee playing baseball.
Yes.
He's got some other ones. Whoa. Oh, wait. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective Junior, TV movie. The Sandlot 2.
Beethoven 3rd and 4th.
Beethoven, first Kid.
First Kid, I remember.
First Kid, yeah, Sinbad. So, yeah, anyway, shout out to David Mickey Evans for this one.
What? Not only did he direct it, he wrote it, and I believe he narrates it. He's a narration, the narrator's voice.
Okay. That is a fun fact, Kevin.
Yeah. My bad. I hope I didn't steal your fun fact.
I have none for this, so okay. I meant that. Okay, what's your second pick? Moving along.
Right, so my second pick is going to a different genre also, and it's a view about the American dream. And it's I believe the first movie that popped into my head when I was thinking of this list, and it's an animated movie, and it's called An American Tale, which released in 1986 directed by Don Bluth, and it's a movie about a kid, it's an anthropomorphic mouse, whose family is moving from Russia to America. He gets lost, and he's discovering New York while trying to get back to his family, and it just shows like such a beauty of what the world views America as, because there's a song like, there's no cats in America. And especially back in that time, everyone wanted to get to America. I still think people want to come to America because it just represents so much opportunity. It represents different something different from the world that they're coming from, because we do have the beauty of all these rights and all these freedoms that even though there's things that we're working on here, the rest of a lot of the world wants to come here because it's such a different life that they can achieve and they can work hard for and they can do something with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so An American Tale, the animated movie.
It's in the history of humanity, our country was without precedent. And I think, especially on the 4th of July, which is one of my favorite holidays, it's I think it cracks the top two for me as far as favorite holidays. It's in the summer, you're grilling, pool, fireworks, what's not to like? But every day, you know, I hope that none of us take for granted what an incredible time to be alive, what an incredible blessing and privilege to be in a country the likes of which has never existed before.
I know last year I had the honor and opportunity and privilege to take the girls on a road trip, you know what I mean, during this week. Like this last year we were in Ohio and I took the girls and my mom and we drove like an hour and a half through small back roads and everything, and we saw this firework display that was so different than anything we see down here in South Florida. And yeah, we go by the beach, we see the fireworks, and then we go home. But just being there with people in lawn chairs, having the girls running around playing the fireworks, I was taking awesome pictures. They were like just larger than life, these fireworks. And just being able to have this time and eat some food and just, you know, fellowship with my family and have a great time. It was just, I can't tell you what it did for my heart. You know what I mean? You just felt so proud just to be America and just celebrating mm-hmm. America's birthday.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. Stars and stripes. Bald eagles. But yeah. All right. Moving along. Your third choice.
Snake draft. My third choice is another war movie. It's going to be a more recent, but not that recent actually. Now that I'm looking at it, it's like 30 years old, almost. But it is Saving Private Ryan, which takes place starts off on D-Day in World War II, and it's about finding one of their brothers in arms and bringing them back home. But just Tom Hanks' performance in it, when he talks about what, you know, the white picket fence and other things about back home and the things that were sacrificed by people who came from this country, not just for our country, but for the world. And like you said, this country's been without precedent, but the things that this country has also given the world, like not besides just America, has been without precedent. You know, the willing, especially that generation, the willing to sacrifice themselves for people they didn't know to say, hey, we have to do this because this is spreading. And let's be honest, if we stayed out of the war, Germany probably wasn't coming over here. But we're like, hey, we have to step in. We have to take care of ourselves, some stuff. You know what I mean? Most of it was because Japan decided to pick a fight with the wrong people. Mm-hmm. But it happened. And it just shows, like, again, probably a theme in most of these movies is like this brotherhood and this bonding that happens because these people are from the same country. They may not be from the same spots, but you grow into like a brotherhood and you're willing to lay your life on the line to save another one. Mm-hmm. And that to me really captures the, like this American spirit and just what America is about.
Yeah. Just like the movie Stillwater.
Just like Stillwater. The same identical movies.
I didn't think about that one, but that one would have made my list probably if I had thought of it. At least an honorable mention. I'm a fan of that movie. But yeah, and you know, the one element for me that sticks with me about that movie, you know, more than others, I mean there's so many, but more than others, is about Tom Hanks' character. Again, when it is revealed that after all that heroism and leadership and bonding, and all the other characteristics that he, you know, demonstrated courage, when you find out that, you know, he's just a small town school teacher, you know, back home, and just again illustrates the transformation of that has to take place and that has taken place for us to have the freedoms, the lives, and enjoy the things that we get to enjoy every day, the transformation that men and women have to undergo, you know, to defend those freedoms, you know, even today, but certainly at that time in World War II. I'm a huge, huge World War II fan. In fact, just this weekend, I saw in the newspaper that on Saturday, they there's a pilot, a gentleman who's a pilot, and he loves flying and loves airplanes, and so he restored this World War II aircraft. It was more of a cargo airplane, but they did use it a little bit for paratroopers. I think it's called the Beach City Babe. I should know that, but anyway, he like restored it and he takes it around and displays it and does like exhibits. And he was coming, to a town 30 minutes away. So, Ophie and I and my father-in-law went and got to see the plane go in it, take some pictures, but it's probably something I'll never forget. Just to get, any opportunity to get close to, you know, something from that time, which was just, again, such a meaningful time in all of our lives, you know, when you think World War II, but then the pride, especially as an American and even more so as a naturalized, you know, citizen who, in some ways has, well, a distinct appreciation for, you know, what this country has provided.
Like, have you ever seen Band of Brothers or no?
Yes. Oh, I need to watch The Pacific, but Band of Brothers is definitely, yeah.
I have them both on Blu-ray, by the way, if you ever want to see them. If they're not streaming anywhere, but yeah. They're both phenomenal. And I think one last thing about this movie, I remember the one thing I remember is Spielberg said that he made Schindler's List as like for his mom, as a love letter to his mom. Mm-hmm. And he made Saving Private Ryan as a love letter for his dad. And I think that does resonate because I know sometimes we can be a little hard on Spielberg nowadays, but you could just see, like, especially a movie like Saving Private Ryan, just how much he poured into it. And I don't know if it's because of that emotional thing, but it's so well done. And I feel like it is done with such reverence and such love and the quality of everything, even from the beginning, from the fade, when they fade out from that guy and present day fading back to Tom Hanks, so you think it's Tom Hanks, and then the twist at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, everything I feel just thought out so well, and this probably is, like I said, it's definitely one of the top war movies, if not the best war movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know All Quiet on the Western Front we really love, but this is, I don't know if it tops this one, because this movie is really great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and that was my third.
Yeah, great choice. All right, my third, different genre, but and even though this movie delves into war, a later war than World War II, Vietnam War, it's not just about that. You know, it traces, you know, this entire life, and the surrounding lives that intersect. But, you know, just a story of a man through his eyes, his experiences in the South. It's very hard for me today to, it used to be so easy for me to say, oh, this is my favorite song, this is my favorite movie, this is my favorite show. Now it's so hard for me to pick, you know, one. Instead, there's just like a Mount Rushmore, let's say. So for me, it's definitely a film that's in my Mount Rushmore of my favorite movies. I've seen it so many times. I know it so well. Tom Hanks, again, back to back. But for me, it's Forrest Gump. And again,
that one was on my list.
Yeah. This one is just more about decades, right, of American life. You know, him going first, there's just his personal life experience again in the South, Meeting Elvis, his relationship with his mom, obviously his educational handicaps, his, you know, relationship with Jenny, then just his, the whole adventure that his life becomes, but then obviously meeting various presidents, going to Vietnam War, then traveling around the world playing ping pong, becoming a celebrity, running across the country, speaking in front of the Washington Monument, being on the phone, snitching about Watergate unknowingly, having a fight, you know, at a Black Panther party. I mean, there's just the hippie movement. I mean, it just goes through. And then the music in the film, Robert Zemeckis is directing. What's his name? Gary Sinise in an all-time great role as Lieutenant Dan. Even some breakthrough CGI, you know, in it through his performance, you know, when he gets his legs blown off. I mean, dude, I can recap the whole movie from beginning to end. There's so many things that I love about this movie. And I sat in a college class one time, probably with a communist professor who was not necessarily bashing Forrest Gump, but just making a pretty convincing case that the movie is nothing less than right-wing propaganda. And that point of view has stuck with me and just makes me chuckle, because I think you can make that argument. You could probably argue the opposite. You can argue about anything, anytime, but doesn't change the fact that it's just a great movie and that it depicts a lot. I think it's fair to say that it depicts in some way the American experience, and it's not always great. You know, sometimes it doesn't shy away from some of the uglier parts even, but still, for me, displays, you know, a lot to be proud of, and a great movie. Tom Hanks won the Oscar. I think this was his back-to-back Oscars, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah, Philadelphia anyway. In this one.
But yeah, Forrest Gump.
Nice. I just saw this with the girls probably less than a month ago, maybe a little bit over a month ago, and it holds up so well. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could see how it's right-wing propaganda, even though it wasn't made by right-wing people. Mm-hmm.
I know.
But it's just, it is what it is. It's just a story. Like, you can look so much into everything. Little side note, this movie came out 30 years ago, July 6th, 30 years ago. So we're on the cusp of a 30-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Besides even just the simple nature of it, I really wanted to show the girls because, again, I think it does show, like, just the vastness of America, you know, the shrimping boat, the working hard to lift yourself up, the running across America, and showing these real events, like, even though he was put into it, like JFK, Nixon, all these other, like, all the other things you mentioned, while still working a pretty good love story that had a lot of nuance to it, like with Jenny and the molestation and this and that, that, you know, you may not pick up at first, but then you start getting it and you see the love of a man for a woman, and when he tears down that house and he just, you know, loves her and goes to talk to her, and Haley Joel Osment's first movie, you know, as Forrest Jr., and he's just showing, he's like, and even as a father, he's like, is he like me? Because he wants to know if he's slow. She goes, he's really smart. And it makes him happy. And he's able to show the love that his mom showed for him, you know, back to his son. And again, it's just a beautiful, you know, snapshot of what America is and can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at it through the eyes of a person like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that it's a tale of the American South, and there's something very unique because of its past, but also because of just its people and its culture and its landscape, that, again, there's nothing like the American South anywhere else, you know, and each corner of the country is different. I mean, we're not technically from, we are from the geographic South. We're not from the deep South, but we're from Florida, you know, so we're right there and, you know, same climate and a lot of, you know, so in that sense, I think it is also a little bit close to my heart, but I think the movie displays an incredible depth of love, you know, because you hit on his love to Jenny, his love to his mom, his love to his son, but then there's also his love to, with Bubba, right? And the way he honored that, and his love with Lieutenant Dan, right? And the way that he honored him, and his love actually helped Lieutenant Dan heal, right? Through his grief and his post-traumatic stress, you know, disorder from the war. So yeah, the depths of love on display does not exclude the love for country and for God, you know, in this film as well. So
while you were talking, like, I think it also shows how we go, oh man, like, Jenny was hurt and she did some really bad things, and she was kind of like a little bit mean to him, even though she was really nice to himself, but she wasn't always the nicest. But like, Forrest's view of her never changed. He's like, no, I love you and I believe in you. And that's also like his view that this movie takes of, I believe, of America. Like, no, like, yeah, there's been a lot of stuff that's been, you know, isn't the best, because no place is perfect, but I still love you and you're still a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does. All right, moving right along for me. Uh-huh. And my next pick after Forrest Gump, wow, I did not plan it this way, Kevin, for it to be another? Tom Hanks back to back to back. But again, this is a movie, yeah, I've seen it a bunch of times. I like it. I think it's a great movie, some great performances. Again, we're back with sports in this one. Again, from an older era. But I guess, yeah, for me, it's just, there's just something about the movie. It also deals with wartime, and in particular, the way that impacted individuals of every demographic, right? Fathers, sons, wives, daughters, husbands, parents. Anyway, but for me, it's A League of Their Own.
Nice.
Comedy directed by, what's his name?
Gary. It's Penny Marshall, actually.
Penny Marshall. Directed it. Penny Marshall, correct. Gary Marshall's in it. Penny Marshall directed it. But yeah.
Man, what a great pick. Like, I wasn't even on my radar. Once you said Tom Hanks, I'm like, I'm thinking, what movie? And then you said a sports movie. I'm like, oh. Such a good pick.
I mean, I think, again, something to be said for the era and the movies that are impactful to us, but just goes to show you, man, the hot streak that this guy went on. It's not too many other actors, you know, that have so many home runs in there.
And I think another thing is, because we've talked about Brotherhood, like with Sandlot and Saving Private Ryan, but it also just shows like a sisterhood that formed, because it's based on a true story. These are true people that they were portraying. And it just shows like this sisterhood that happened while their husbands and all these people they love were, again, overseas, putting their lives on the line for strangers that they've just met. And these women just come together. And again, I haven't seen it recently, so I would have to watch it before I can see if it's good for the girls. But I was like, I'm surprised I haven't even thought about showing this one yet to them. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's a really good movie. It's funny. It's has some great acting. Gina Davis is pretty good in it. I remember thinking Madonna, like, I didn't know she could act.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't think she did a good.
John Lovitz.
Good old John Lovitz. Lori Petty.
Yeah.
Like, all these people are just popping in my head. Even Rosie.
Yeah. Well, and then as you describe, I mean, what makes some of these movies, you know, Forrest Gump and A League of Their Own, even these are movies that transcend, you know, and they're just almost beloved by almost everyone, you know, of course not everyone, but but widely, you know, beloved. And I think that, again, it tackles some interesting issues and some interesting conversations within the film that, you know, can carry over to outside the film. You know, like even the different paths, you know, that these women take, you know, once they're given this opportunity in this league, you know, you have the two sisters, right? And one of them really, you know, chooses to kind of pursue that and live that life and kind of squeeze that fruit as much as possible. And then you have the more talented sister who could probably, if she did the same thing, would have the world at her feet, you know, because she's so talented. And yet she lays that down and sacrifices that down, you know, to like rejoin her husband. The movie, what I love is it doesn't say necessarily one way's right and one way's wrong. You know, it just says these are these characters, this is who they were, this is what they were about, this is why they made the decisions that they made, and everyone that watches is going to identify, you know, to some point, because it captures something about the human experience. So then you have even a redemption story, you know, with Tom Hanks's character, which is really powerful too. And again, all these movies have these incredible plot points and arcs and all this, but ultimately it's comes down to, it's just a good, fun story, you know, kind of even just going along for the ride with these women, with this team on this season, and all learning about everything that's going on in the country and in their lives. So
great pick. So that's on to me. Mm-hmm. A funny thing, by the way, as we're mentioning these movies, like most of these movies, I feel that we're picking take place before like 1980s, like, well, or even probably the 70s.
I said that my you know, vision of it is old fashioned. So
yeah, like no, like even mine, I didn't notice until you said that. I was like, man, all these. Part of me wonders if like these movies can even be made today, because even the movies that we're picking, not only is it old-fashioned, but they were made a while ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think my most recent one was probably in 1999, which is going to be this mm-hmm. next one coming up. It takes place in 1957, and it's called October Sky.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't know if you've seen that in a while, but it's about Homer Hickam Jr. and just about this kid who's a coal miner's son. His family's coal miners. He's expected to be a coal miner. And he just gets into, him and his friends start getting into rockets. And it's a true story. And it's just about how he starts getting into rockets, engineering, and he ends up, his dad doesn't want him to do that. No, you got to be a coal miner because he's getting sick and you got to provide for your family. And he just, there's just something different inside him. And it represents what America can be if you just dedicate yourself to it. And you go, and he became like head of like some head of NASA departments, mm-hmm. where even recently, a few years ago, I remember this one lady just being really rude and like being vulgar online, and because she got a job with NASA, and he's like, hey, you should watch your language, and she cursed him out, and it was Homer Hickam, mm-hmm. and she got in trouble, but he had to step in and say, no, I wasn't offended, it's okay, she's young, and he was just able to pay it back for this young lady who had done something. But back to the movie, it's just, like I said, it's just a beautiful thing about learning, about having the opportunity here and coming from the middle of nowhere and just becoming like this, one of these main people at NASA, which he would have never dreamed of in the beginning, mm-hmm. until they saw Sputnik, you know, fly over their homes.
Mm-hmm. I think that movie's set near Pittsburgh. I think it's in Pennsylvania, because this is Southwest PA. Here's coal country, part of coal country, I guess. So I think it's set near Pittsburgh.
We'll find out in 2 seconds.
Because I think I saw an interview for it, maybe within the past year. But yeah, it's a great movie. I haven't not seen that probably since I was in high school. I think we had a teacher that actually showed it to us in high school. It's a really good movie. I think I saw an interview with Jake Gyllenhaal talking about that movie. But yeah, it's just good. I need to go back. That's one I definitely will revisit. It doesn't get discussed enough or brought up enough. You know, it's kind of a forgotten little gem there.
Yeah, and that's why I was glad. Oh, by the way, it takes place in West Virginia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're right there.
But, yeah, which is right there. But it's one, like, again, I just sat down. I was just sitting, because I was off today, so I was like, or the past weekend, and I was like, let me sit down, let me think about, you know, movies instead of just the first ones that pop up, like in an American Tale. And I keep picturing the movie poster, which is just him, like, standing, you know, with this sunset coming up, and it's this beautiful sunset. He's just looking up in the sky, and it's just, to me, when I see that, I just feel America. That's all.
Okay.
October sky.
All right. I think that brings you to your last pick, your final pick.
My final pick, and I'll be surprised if you don't have it on yours. You may not, because you mentioned it earlier, and I don't think it's on yours. But it's a fun movie. It doesn't hold up as well, like, graphically nowadays. I watched it with the girls. I've watched it the past few years with the girls on 4th of July, and they've loved it. And it may be elevated just because of one amazing speech, but my pick is Independence Day. The movie that I've been watching with my girls. Again, they want to watch Independence Day again tomorrow, but we may watch The Patriot. Maybe we'll watch it tomorrow and watch The Patriot tonight. But Independence Day, I remember when it came out. Because the movie takes place July 3rd, no, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And it came out on July 2nd, which was a Tuesday. I remember being in the theaters with my cousin Chuck, and my brother. People coming out, and people were like, you gotta love this movie. I'm like, don't spoil it. And when you watch it, you're like, I gotta watch it again. Because just because that speech, and like, this is what it is to be an American, and the world will celebrate their Independence Day today. And it's just, it is, again, it's Earth versus aliens, but it was the colonists versus, you know, the British Empire. It was all these different things that, you know, happened. And it's just like an analogy to that. Sacrifices, heroes, people giving up their lives I think we've talked about this in war movies before. Like, if this was real, like someone who would have died, who you never would have even remembered, but they give a sacrifice to help victory. And again, parts of it may not hold up at the best today, but it's just a fun movie. And it just reminds me of America, and America can be fun, and we strive and we overcome.
It is a fun movie. Man, that movie, it takes me back to a time in my life. Number one, that was the height of my Will Smith fandom. Will Smith could do no wrong after Bad Boys, Independence Day. And he was like, dude, he was like an automatic for a summer blockbuster. What a time. It was a time of MTV, the MTV Beach House all summer. A time in my, and like you said, the things that we were doing, having fun, was just a special time in my life that movie takes me back to. So not only that, but yeah, I mean, dude, that speech gets me every time. What's his name? What's the...
Bill Pullman?
Not Bill Pullman. The crazy guy?
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid. I was trying to think of his brother, Dennis Quaid. Randy Quaid, that's that epic climactic scene is awesome.
Like, I'm back! That's so great.
Even, dude, Jeff Goldblum. Great, great role in that movie. Judd Hirsch.
Playing his dad, yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? Harry Connick Jr. is in it.
Harry Connick Jr., yeah. And all that aside, it's just a great aliens versus the world, you know? Just the world versus blank, you know, the world versus an asteroid in Armageddon, the world versus aliens Independence Day, you know. That subgenre or genre, end of the world, disaster, whatever, everyone, mankind having to figure out how to overcome and survive. This is a great entry in that genre. There's a reason it made all that money, you know, and it was also just marketed really well. It's really cool. Like, the aliens look really cool. The spaceships look really cool. You know, the it's very well directed, good action. That scene at the end where they, you know, Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum, what a partnership, what a team, go into that spaceship, give it the virus. It's exploding. They got to fly out. Even
the cigar.
Even the build up to that, right, where he's like learning how to fly an alien spaceship, just figuring it out on the fly, literally. Ooh, dude, multiple. Not only is he flying a spaceship, I said on the fly, he's with the fly. Jeff Goldblum.
He's with the fly.
How about that?
Look at that. You can't epic. Get more.
That is multi-layered insight.
You were just mentioning, like, I can remember, man, seeing the Empire State Building get destroyed, and the White House when those alien ships are over it, and even though they don't show it, when one of the alien ships goes to Houston and they try to nuke it over Houston, and that's for anyone who doesn't know, I'm from Houston, so I was like, oh man, we made it, but we did not. But again, it's all these there's like tons of just moments layered on moments, and I've never seen the sequel. I don't know if I ever plan to, if my daughter has ever forced me to. Yeah. But right now, it still stands as just a great memory. And yeah, like I said, just an awesome showing of what that American spirit can be when it's passed on to everyone in the world.
Yeah. Dude, remember that scene too where they go down to see the alien that's being held like in Area 51, and he grabs 52. That scientist and goes around his neck and starts speaking through him. It's great. Great, great, great film. Great choice. All right, that leads me to my final choice. Wrapping things up here, we'll do some honorable mentions after this, but this one I think is really, for me and the rest of my choices so far, I think there's a common thread through all of my picks. I mean, Tom Hanks for one. But I think this one is coming out of left field, and if for me, I was really thinking and even arguing against it, but there still is something about it that for me it's just a very American experience. So again, it's a little bit different. You probably wouldn't see it coming, but my last choice is It's a Wonderful Life. And I think in part because of the story, right? I think it's small town, right? Salt of the earth people. I mean, this is probably the oldest one we're talking about, you know, the oldest movie we're talking about. So definitely even throwing back to an even older era. But yeah, again, small town. So there's the story and just the theme, right, of kindness and generosity and giving to people, you know, and what you get in exchange, what you get in return for that in a fulfilling life filled with, you know, friendship and love and all those things. But I think it included in this choice is also just the idea that for us Americans, and I don't know about if other countries as well, but I know that for us here, it's like, it's almost like a rite of passage, first of all, just to watch the movie the first time, but then it's synonymous with what Christmas is here, you know? And for me, that just is like part of the American experience. I probably could have also argued the same way for A Christmas Story. That just wasn't a big movie for me in my childhood. Like, I didn't really grow up with it. I appreciate it a little bit more now as an adult, but it's just not as significant to me. But yeah, It's a Wonderful Life is just a great movie. But I think, yeah, the fact that, again, the themes, but also just the experience that we all share it. It means something to all of us. It's like a rite of passage, and every year it comes around again, and it's part of our traditions. It's part of our culture. And again, not speaking for everyone, but I think for at least a segment of our country, it's a pretty significant film.
But I think it's It's like loosely based on A Christmas Carol about seeing what life would be without you there. And there's something about filmmaking back in, what was it, 1946, where it's not all, they don't muddle it so much with like so much. And again, I like modern movies, but there's not like these blaring soundtracks. There's not all these, lights and gimmicks going on. It's just for, and again, I haven't seen A Wonderful Life in a long time. It's another movie. Like, that's why I love doing these. It's like, man, I gotta write this down with me and the girls gotta watch it. But it's just another movie where it's just longer shots. It's just lets James Stewart just act, just develop, just, and it just goes along and you're seeing the town, you're seeing everything that's a world which was far removed from us and far removed from even probably our parents. But it goes back to America and being able to be like the theme, like being able to be happy with what you have, and life isn't always as bad as you think it is. You just have to be able to see how much, how important the things around you are and how important you are to those things. And that can be lost today with social media and all this stuff that we just drown ourselves with.
Absolutely. And I think too, this is not unique to the United States, but it is certainly a part of the United States that there's so many different versions, right? There's the big kind of metropolitan city version. You got your New Yorks, you got your San Francisco, Chicago, it's Miami, those types of areas. But then you have also the middle of the country, right? And how different things are there, where, and how unique each of those feel. And so I think for me, having gotten to experience all of those, and now having been living in a small town in Southwest Pennsylvania for, something like 6 years, there's just something about what's depicted in that film that I'm like, oh, okay. There's an element of that that is still alive and it's still intact, which is really cool to kind of see it on that screen, so many years ago. And even though, again, some people embrace change and progress and, evolution of a culture and a people and a nation, and surely the country has changed so much. I guess you could say in the heartland and in certain places of the country, some of those things that we've had from, the Revolutionary War and throughout of what it means to be America still persist, and still continues. And I think that's something for me that is captured in that film.
And sometimes I don't know if you ever get this feeling, and again, I don't believe it in my heart, but everyone, I remember when I was younger, sometimes I felt like I was very anachronistic, like I was just out of time. I'm like, man, maybe I should have been born like 30, 40 years earlier. But again, I'm only thinking that because people 30, 40 years older, as we saw, what was it, that movie, Midnight in Paris? Owen Wilson's character is like, oh, I was born, and back then he's like, oh, this place sucks. I wish I was born 30 years earlier. And everyone always longs for that past. But there are, like, again, there's just things that we can aspire to. We can still say, hey, this is what we want for our lives, for our children, for, I think it's beautiful. Like I told you last year when we went to 4th of July in that small town in Ohio, they had like a little main walk. They had little brick houses that looked like it would have been straight out of here. That there were not modern buildings. But it was the most fascinating and awesome experience that we've had. And I was like, man, this is really great. Like, I love doing road trips with the girls just to see what everything else is and how different it is than the hustle and bustle of South Florida.
Yeah, and even, dude, even, when I lived in Philadelphia, like even there, so cool, like going to the old city. For me, it wasn't lost on me. I'd be walking down there on these cobblestone streets, being like, dang, these are probably the same stones that like And maybe not. I don't think they've been replaced. I'm sure that they've been preserved. So being like, dang, you know, or seeing the Liberty Bell, or, you know, just being in these places where it's, you know, I've been to Boston, you know, Massachusetts, and, you know, these geographic locations that are so significant to us from the founding fathers and what they were able to do with the Constitution. And so even walking in those places and even just being there, it was like, man, this is where it all happened. You know, this is this, and it's really cool. So, yeah. So we have 5 picks from each of us. Let me repeat them. So for me, my 5 films that I guess we could say encapsulate, you know, my American experience or what America, the United States means to me are The Patriot, The Sandlot, Forrest Gump, A League of Their Own, and It's a Wonderful Life. And Kevin had Gods and Generals, An American Tale, Saving Private Ryan, October Sky, and Independence Day. Now I will briefly go over my honorable mentions, and they are the movie Amistad with Matthew McConaughey. Really good movie. This is kind of cheating because I've never actually seen this movie, but I feel like I've seen parts of it, and but I think it speaks for itself. But it's Lincoln, by but that's why I didn't pick it in one of my 5. But it's mentioned honorably. I also had Saving Private Ryan, and then a last minute addition for me is Legends of the Fall. Okay. Those are my honorable mentions.
Nice, nice. I like those. The 3 I had Gettysburg, which came out before Gods and Generals. It's really good.
Denzel's in that, right?
No, he's in Glory.
Oh, Glory. But that's a trilogy, isn't it?
Glory is not with it, but Gettysburg, Gods and Generals, and there's another one that's a trilogy.
Oh, okay.
On that one. But Gettysburg's really good. I just don't think it... I give the nod to Gods and Generals as, to me, being a better movie. In America, which is a movie that I love that we'll discuss on another 5 to 5. It's about an immigrant, Jim Sheridan's semi-autobiographical movie about Irish immigrants coming to America and discovering. I didn't put that on because it was between that and American Tale, and I went with an American Tale. Uh-huh. But it's a beautiful. Have you ever seen An America One or no?
I don't think so.
It has Diamond Hunsu in it too.
Oh, but okay. No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Like it is great.
I've heard good things about it. Yeah.
And then the other one,
early 2000s, right? That movie.
Yeah.
Or
probably 2001, I think, or 2003. Uh-huh. But then the other one, which was another Tom Hanks movie, which I discussed too, which I had taken off because again, it was just for balancing, trying to pick, was Apollo 13. Mm-hmm. Which is just a great movie, great acting. Gary Sinise is in it also. And just about how America comes around, like when things become commonplace, like going to the moon. Yeah, nobody's really watching. Boom, all of a sudden some tragedy happens. And in a lot of these movies, a lot of these stories, when tragedy happens and everyone just comes together and you just feel close, it's sort of like when 9/11 happened and we all, you know, there was a closeness that happens when there's a tragedy that befalls America. Even if we're all against each other, we're all bickering. When something happens to us as a country, as a people, we're like, hey, you're messing with one of ours. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it just got left out because it was, again, we had a limit to 5.
Yeah, I mean, the fear is that, is the question if that spirit is still intact. We're so divided these days, you know. And also just a topic for another day. But yeah, let's hope that unity is buried but still accessible when we need it. Anyway, hopefully you've enjoyed listening to us in this theme, talking about the movies that we picked. I'm sure that if you know, we'd love to hear your thoughts, you know, on what movies belong in this conversation. If it's not one that we mentioned already, comment and let us know. That would be really fun to kind of, I'm amazed we didn't have, you know, we mentioned, we were thinking along the same lines, but ultimately on our list, no dual entries. It's fascinating.
I will say it wasn't slight cheat, but like, remember how I told you I was still narrowing it down? I had six, and then you mentioned Forrest Gump, so I was like, all right, well, that one's going off my list, and I'll just I get a chance to mention this other movie.
Yeah. So anyway, this was a lot of fun. Surely we'll be back soon with a film review, but it is fun to pepper the season with these episodes that give us a chance to talk about other movies that we love. So yeah, thank you for listening. Come back and do it again. Bring a friend, or share it, you know, with someone. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Kevin, any words?
Yeah, again, like, just share with us if you think there's other ones. Like, hey, consider these. Again, we're not saying this is definitive top five of all time. It's the five that came to our hearts and minds when we thought about this. Maybe it brought up something. If you end up rewatching one of these, let us know. Let us know what you think. If you're like, hey, we should have watched that one. And other than that, there's nothing else to say. But
And good night, America, wherever you are.
Good night and good luck. I was going to say, don't speak for me, bro, because I, for one, I know that I'm the authority on this topic and these films.
Oh, my
but,
God.
But I am surprised you didn't go with the Alamo.
Well, I did consider the Alamo, but I consider that more of a, and again, this is being from Texas, that's more of a Texas story than a whole American story.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's one of the greatest stories ever told, the whole battle for Texas independence. But again, we're going America, and while Texas is great, and it is where I will always be from, I don't think it resonates with a New Jerseyan.
Okay.
Fair. So that's what, but that's why that got eliminated from mine. But
fair.
I like how you know me, though.
All righty. All right. Later, haters.